And so we found that out when some of our writings got into Mexico, that the real Rio de los Palmas was down near Panuca, near Tampico, where they had another sable palm grove. And that was the Rio de los Palmas. So we have made corrections in a lot of our writings with regard to that.
You say sable palm.
Sable, S-A-B-L-E.
Is that a kind of palm?
S-A-B-A-L. There's no thorns on it. It's not a palmetto. It's entirely different.
What are these things that grow on the streets here?
Well, that's the called the, what do they call it? It's the, I can't recall. It has one name for it. I think it's called the royal palm. They're palmettos, though.
But those aren't the sable palms?
No. They have thorns on the branches, you know. Now the sable palms don't. They grow in a perfect fan shape. They're beautiful, and it's the only sable palm grove in the United States in its natural habitat. And a man whom I knew very well, my family knew, first acquired the land way back there in the early 1870s, or middle 1870s, part of that land, and then. He developed it, then after he married, he was a native of Corpus Christi, came down a very young man, and married into a very prominent family. The Americans all lived in Matamoros because there wasn't anything on this side until the Mexican War. And see, previous to that, they all stayed over there. Stillman, the Starks, the Krauses, all of them. Stillman made his money over there during the Civil War when everything was blockaded. Mexico was a free port, you see, and the cotton went through there and got on the European freighters at Baghdad, and then the Union forces couldn't do anything about it after it got on an English ship or any other ship, and they sold cotton as high as $1 a pound. And the South was all blockaded, and they got it in here by some way and got it across to Matamoros, you see.
Did your father ever work with the cotton, or was he...
What?
Your father, did he work with the cotton, or was he just... His foreman of San Juan, that was his job most of his life.
Well, he was foreman of the whole plantation, and of course they had all kinds of vegetables too for home consumption, and he experimented. He and there were two, I told you about Nathaniel Jackson, and then there was another man by the name of John, who was from Connecticut, a very educated man, and he had lived at near Austin, and had quite a settlement there. But he got mixed up with some mulatto girl, and so they ran him out, told him to leave. So he left and landed down here in 1850 on the river here between Schuster Farms and through there, that area east of Hidalgo. And he stayed there and acquired 3,000 or 4,000 acres of land. He was a highly educated man. And he married this mulatto girl, and they had 13 girls and 2 boys. And they called the girls the Tres Marias, you know, the 13 Marys. And my father was fortunate enough to know his oldest son. See, had died long before my father came, because he didn't come 1895. And was a very good man, educated. We're going to mark cemetery, a historical marker. And so he acquired 3,000 or 4,000 acres of land in there, which is just virgin soil. And at 10 cents an acre, you know, it was nothing. Mr. bought it at that price too. And so during the Civil War, you see, when established the church down here, it was the Methodist Episcopal Church North, see? And then was, of course, Union, because he was from Connecticut. So on this end of the stretch for about 5 miles in there where the Santa Ana Wildlife Refuge is at this point, Nathaniel was a spy for the Unions on this side, and he was a spy on the other end. So Rip had a time to keep that smuggling of arms down coming from Mexico, you see, to the Union forces.